Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome, you're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That guy, that's Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, through the years of doing the show, we have been contacted by people that have inside information. We actually talked to an insider at Area 51 a number of years ago, and we've talked to ex-military personnel, government personnel, and, you know, some of them have been whistleblowers and shown the light on very interesting aspects of our history and our government and things that are going on. And for a while now, I've been receiving emails from a gentleman who has a story to share. And, everything from the Cola Wars, Tim, to weather manipulation and beyond. That's what we're going to cover in today's episode. So sit back, and if you're into the concepts of secrecy, I hate to always use the word conspiracy because it sounds like it's a nutter idea, but you know, if you're into this type of aspect, I think this is going to be an episode you're all going to enjoy and walk away from a little bit more educated and blown away. Joining us now on the line is James Yolton. James, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, you've been reaching out to me for quite a while with kind of these cryptic messages about things that you know and projects that you worked on. What made you decide at this point in your life to come forward and start telling the truth?
We have a problem. We have a problem with the weather. And my government has refused to talk to me since they showed them how to manipulate it.
Okay, well, let's start with a little bit of your background then, James. Talk to us a little about who you are and your affiliation with the government and the projects that you've worked on, if you don't mind.
Okay, you want to start with education or you just want to jump right into projects?
Well, you know, give us a little bit of your background in education as well, if you're willing to go that way.
Okay, I'm a mathematician, minor in chemistry, and I had a career as a computer programmer, published multiple times. I write the best stuff. I'm a hyper-intelligent overachiever who solves problems. That's what I do. In 1996, I finally got a liaison to my government, and in the process of reviewing for a project that I wanted to build, the topic of Pepsi came up, and the Cola Wars, and why they stopped.
All right, And what was going on with that? And how did you get involved in that project? It just seems like a strange thing for the government to get involved in the Cola Wars.
Yeah. It started with a friend. He asked me to help out with his kid. Not his kid, his grandson. His grandson was 5 years old. He was hostile. ADD, ADHD, the works. He asked me to help figure out what's wrong with him. It took me a while, but there's two ingredients in a product, you know, as Pepsi, that contains caffeine and citric acid. Those two chemicals mixed in solution form caffeine citrate. If you do a Google search for caffeine citrate, you'll find a pharmaceutical called CAFCIT. That particular chemical was registered as a pharmaceutical to keep it away from the kids. You know, we gave it to them by accident. One of the side effects of caffeine citrate is adult aggressive behavior, which is consistent with ADD. I reported that to a research chemist who worked for the government. At first, he didn't believe me, and I said, oh, here, just look it up. He did look. He tried to look it up. He looked in the National Formulary. It wasn't there. I told him it was removed because of, by Pepsi. He went back to an older edition and found the chemical in the National Formulary. with the side effect known to cause adult aggressive behavior. Okay, he asked me to report that to his doctor, who turned out to be a U.S. Air Force flight surgeon. I laid out the evidence, and I told him, I am not a medically trained professional. I'm giving you this evidence. It's up to you to look at it and review it and decide what to do, which he did. The result was that the color wars immediately ended. Nobody won. They're not allowed to advertise, and sugary drinks were taken out of school vending machines to take away from the kids. And that's the end of the color wars.
Well, now you say that they're not allowed to advertise. I mean, obviously they both advertise. Pepsi has been a major sponsor of the Super Bowl and sporting events for quite a while. And
sure, they're a sponsor, but when's the last time you saw a Pepsi commercial? Somebody drinking a Pepsi. When's the last time you heard the jingle or a taste test? Color Wars ended. They're gone. They're done. We just don't want to give it to the kids anymore.
All right. Now, well, I know Kendall Jenner just did a Pepsi commercial not too long ago. I'm the worst guy to ask about what's the last time I saw the commercial because I DVR everything and I fast forward through every commercial. So I don't remember seeing a commercial for Pepsi, but that's only because I don't pay attention to commercials anymore.
James, there was just a Pepsi. Commercial that the NFL did for the Super Bowl, this last Super Bowl, that involved the 100th anniversary of the NFL, and it involved a bunch of NFL players, and it aired during the Super Bowl.
Now I know tobacco. They advertise. Yeah, they've removed tobacco ads. I don't think you see cigarette ads anymore. And the like, but I don't know that that there's ever been a moratorium on soda ads. But in the sense
private.
If
you look on a can of Pepsi, you'll see caffeine and citric acid listed side by side.
Right.
If you Google search caffeine citrate wiki, just read all about it.
Okay. So the problem was these things, but if it's such an issue, why is it still out there and readily available to children?
Well, you can get it at the corner C store, but they've taken it out of the vending machines, and they just didn't want to create an issue with the public that a major soft drink has a pharmaceutical chemical in it.
Okay. And in doing that, has it made a big difference? Because, I think soda probably sold and drank more than much of anything else, except for energy drinks, which are derivatives from the soda companies.
Yeah, that's fine. It's good for adults. I mean, the adults can drink it all they want. Just don't give it to the kids.
Okay, so you're saying there's a definite disadvantage given to that. But once you're in an adult status and you're drinking the sodas, it doesn't have the same impact on you, can't cause issues?
Well, it does make you more aggressive. At least that particular product does.
That might make sense, especially with the amount of steroids that are pumped into our foods. So you've got the steroids in milk, you've got the steroids in meat, you've got the steroids in many of the different things that we eat, and then on top of that, you've got the drugs, the different additives in drinks that we put into our systems that are booting up real problems and might explain a lot of the aggressive nature. I mean, as a parent, I see it myself with kids, my kids, other kids, this much more aggressive nature. And the kids seem to be aging much quicker, maturing a lot faster. And it could be this dangerous combination of all of these different elements coming together that are creating this. Is that something that you're seeing in what you were able to reveal and what the government's been hiding?
Well, my situation was I wanted to figure out what was wrong with my friend's grandson. We took away his Pepsi, he was fine. So I decided to report it when I had a chance. Did with the information, what they did, now, it wasn't any of my idea whatsoever. I just say, hey, this is a problem.
Dave, I do have an interesting question for James. I do have a Coke product and a Pepsi product in front of me right now. The Coke product does not have citric acid in it. It has phosphoric acid in it. The Pepsi product does have citric acid in it. And I'm curious, in your findings, why the Pepsi product has citric acid. The Coke product does not.
Okay. When Joan Crawford took control of the company after her husband died.
Mm-hmm.
She sent the formula back to the chemist because it didn't make her feel aggressive enough. There was a scene in the film Mommy Dearest, which has been since been removed. It's been edited. If you want to find an old copy, say an old VHS copy,
okay,
you might be able to see the scene. But since then, I've looked at the newer airings, and it's not in there anymore.
So it didn't make her feel aggressive enough. And so that's why the citric acid was put in Pepsi and not necessarily in Coke?
Well, caffeine citrate is a specific chemical that causes adult aggressive behavior, which was in the national formulary at the time.
I'm curious as to why Coke didn't then follow that formula. Was it just something where they weren't necessarily tied into the government as much as Pepsi was?
No, it was just specifically Joan Crawford who wanted it in there.
Oh, okay.
When she originally requested it, the chemist had said no. But then she told them she'd fire them if they didn't do what she wanted.
Interesting.
So they put it in there, and they just did their best to keep it quiet.
And just doing some quick...
She had no realization that it would hurt the kids. It wasn't her intention, but that's what happened.
And looking at it online, looking at caffeine citrate description, it says a caffeine USP, a central nervous system stimulant, is an odorless white crystalline substance or granule with a bitter taste. It is freely soluble in chloroform, sparingly soluble in water and in alcohol, slightly soluble in ether. The chemical name, and it gives that the structural formula. Clinical pharmacology. Caffeine is structurally related to other methylxanthines, thiolphine, and theobromine. It is a bronchial smooth muscle relaxant, a CNS stimulant, a cardiac muscle stimulant, and a diuretic. Although the mechanism of action of caffeine is apnea of prematurity is not known, several mechanisms have been hypothesized. This includes stimulation of the respiratory center, increased minute ventilation, decreased threshold of hypercapnia, increased response to hypercapnia, increased skeletal muscle tone, decreased, good Lord, these words, diaphragmatic fatigue, increased metabolic rate, and increased oxygen consumption. Most of these effects have attributed to antagonism of adrenosine receptors, both A1 and A2 subtypes by caffeine, which is demonstrated in receptor binding assays and observed at concentrations approximating those achieved therapeutically. I'm just glancing through on some of the warnings of what it does. In young infants, the elimination of caffeine is much slower than in adults due to immature hepatitis. Clinical studies. Yeah, there's quite a bit of it on here. I'm just trying to see if there was any specific point of...
So essentially what he's saying is that caffeine leaves the system slower in children than in adults,
right?
And that it's the chemical compound opens up your receptors to caffeine.
And here it says during the double blind placebo controlled clinical trial, 6 cases of necrotizing enterocolitis developed among the 85 infants studied, with 3 cases resulting in death. 5 of the 6 patients with necrotizing enterocolitis were randomized to or had been exposed to caffeine citrate. Reports in the published literature have raised a question regarding the possible association between the use of methylxanthines and development of necrotizing enterocolitis. Although a causal relationship between use and necrotizing enterocolitis has not been established, therefore, as with all preterm infants, patients being treated with caffeine citrate should be carefully monitored for the development of necrotizing enterocolitis. Precautions, and it just goes through, caffeine is a central nervous system stimulant. In cases of caffeine overdoses, seizures have been reported. Caffeine citrate should be used with caution in children, especially with seizure disorders. Now, so is there a difference between citric acid and caffeine, or is it the blending of them that creates this caffeine citrate?
Combining the two in solution in equal parts creates caffeine citrate.
Okay. All right. So there is a major inherent issue. And thinking about all the soda that I've drank throughout my life and how it's affected me. And I've often wondered if it had some kind of long-term effect. Now, I mean, the joke has always been, yeah, you can dip a car in Coke or Pepsi and it'll eat the car away in a week, right? Because of what's in it. And do you really want that in your body? Performing adults, caffeine. There's a pregnant mice, sustained release pellets. I'm just looking to see as it's talking about different aspects. What's interesting, though, is even in this report, they skirt the issue. It talks about, having it in pregnancy, you know, it's not relevant when administered to infants, but in studies performed in adult animals, caffeine is a caffeine base. And it kind of goes over these things without saying anything. Similar to caffeine, such as the following table adverse. Feeding intolerance is much higher on caffeine citrate. Sepsis is much higher, according to the cardiovascular system. Hemorrhaging, digestive systems is quite a bit higher. Look at all the nastiness.
If Pepsi wants to fix it, they can take citric acid out of their product, although it'll change the taste a little. That's about it.
Now, is the citric caffeine or caffeine citrate, is it an addictive substance as well that you're aware of?
I suppose so, as much as caffeine's addictive.
Okay. Interesting stuff. All right. Well, so
like I said,
you were brought on, you talked about that, helped to shine a light and get people to re-examine and reevaluate that. Why didn't they just address it in a more formal way that, hey, this is just straight up bad for you and it could affect children? And because of lobbyists and because of the money that's involved, is that where it comes down to again?
My impression was they just didn't want to alarm the public that there's a drug in the food supply. Just take it away from the kids. It's the kids that are having the problem. So they stopped advertising on TV. They stopped, what was it? Michael J. Fox, he stopped. They took all soft drinks out of the vending machines for the kids under the cover story that it's for, you know, sugary drinks for obesity. I don't mind, but, I kind of hate the public being lied to.
Understandable. All right. Let's now, as you progressed and you were working with the government, how did your continued involvement go? And especially when it came to the weather manipulation.
Weather manipulation started in 2012, and it was a lot of years later. Back then, I was being reviewed for a project, specifically a project to harness the rotation of the Earth as a power source. That deal got reneged. Although it was agreed to in 1996, as part of that review, I was given a series of problems. It says, just throw any problem you want at me that's what I do. I solve problems. It doesn't matter. I'm multidisciplinary. One of the problems was the Rwanda refugee crisis in May 1996. It was all over the news, and somebody said, hey, you want to give up? Want to try? I said, sure. They put me on with they gave me a 20-minute briefing on the problem. Basically, they've been there for about 2 years. The French had offered to send 20,000 troops to bring the refugees home. There was 1.3 million of them in a camp. Rwanda said, no, we won't allow foreign soldiers to set foot on our soil. The U.S. tried to make a similar offer, but they wanted a military base in Zaire, and their reaction was, didn't you hear what it said to the French? At that point, it's my turn. What do you want to do? Said, can I talk to the leader of Zaire? And I took a lesson from history, the Native American Trail of Tears, where a bunch of Native Americans, I think it was the Cherokee, were marched onto a reservation. Many of them died of exposure. Well, I decided we'll try that angle, but with a modification. And then I asked the leader of Zaire one single question, yes or no. Would you allow unarmed aircraft to airdrop food and supplies along the road between the refugee camp and your border, so long as no foreign physically sets foot on your soil? I was told later, he laughed out loud, but he said yes. I was then put on with Kofi Annan, who didn't say a word. I just asked him, do you know what to do? And he nodded. And it was done. By the end of June, 970,000 refugees were reported to return to their homes without incident. Within a year, they were all home. History does not record my participation. At the end of June, I was asked by the International Association of Judges, would you care to be a judge? I really wasn't keen on it, but I said, okay, on conditions. One, that any case I work on is anonymous. I don't want anybody to know I'm helping you. I will help, but, you know, judges do not have a good reputation. And two, what was the second one? Let's see, I was anonymous. That was another condition. I forget what it was. And just don't tell anybody what I'm doing. I don't work on criminal cases. You've got plenty enough judges for that. You just give me technical issues. So, you know, contract disputes, arbitrations, whatever, but, you know, nothing criminal. I was sworn in as a judge on July 1st, 1996, at approximately 2 o'clock in the morning, at exactly the time that MSNBC and MSNBC started airing, Fox News switched to HD. One of the channels was commandeered for a swearing-in ceremony. I stood there and stood in front of a surveillance camera and got sworn in. Weirdest thing I ever saw, but that's international judges, I guess. You want to move on to weather control, or you want to keep going?
Well, yeah. No, just learning the background and how that got you involved and why. You know, I mean, to be asked to step into these positions, did you question that? Or was it just, you know, I'll take what they're giving me if it just puts me in the place to work on these, you know, background stories and background workings?
Let's see. Back in 87, when I was given the job at Project Humanity, I was asked, why me? And I said, if not you, then who? I'm an extraordinary problem solver. I didn't learn until later why. I don't know. I'm kind of anxious about even talking about that.
Why is that? Now, you said that you wanted to come forward and put the truth out there. Yeah. Why are you still uncomfortable talking about things like that?
Well, it's my origins. I usually don't tell people. If you Google search memory RNA space wiki, you'll get a little bit of history on chemical memory transfer. I'm one of your tax dollars experiments. I received 100 samples called the Greatest Minds in History Collection as a fetus. The idea was to make someone super intelligent. Well, it didn't exactly work like I thought it would. I got a lot of images, and I got a lot of feelings and intuitive knowledge, but there's no context. It's just I've got 200 scrapbooks in my head. I don't know anything about what they mean. Anyway, later on, I just developed extraordinary intelligence. Would you tell someone like that?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are coming forward that have been part of governmental projects and testing. So, yeah, it's, you know, certainly it seems to be coming into vogue now where people are feeling free to become whistleblowers and talk about this. So you were brought up in this form, in this experiment. Were you aware of that from an early age, or was this something that you only uncovered later?
I didn't learn about it until I was 1991. When I asked my mother a specific question, she finally broke down and told me all about it. She said she was under orders never to say anything to anyone. 2011, I asked the question again, why me? What makes me so special? Why did you choose me for this? They told me it was because my name was written last in the Book of Life. Sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Religious purposes. So I looked it up. Yeah, it's in there. You know, there really is a Book of Life. It's called the Doomsday Book of 1086, the first tax census on the basis of English law. If you Google search my last name, space, DOMESDAY, book, and click on the first entry, there you'll find it. It really is in there.
Okay.
I don't know now, why me.
Yeah. Now you find this out, you're working and living your life. How does this affect you then in just normal everyday circumstances? Were you alienated? Were you isolated? Or did you live a pretty normal life?
I'm hyper intelligent, senior software engineer, that sort of thing. When I was 10, I was permanently pacified with fluoride. When my father, as a prank, he gave me a puzzle to solve, a system of two equations and three unknowns. While everyone was laughing about it, I was in the bedroom, and 10 minutes later, I handed him the answer. Shortly after that, I went to the dentist where I was overdosed on fluoride.
All right. So explain for listeners who don't understand that. What do you mean by overdosed on fluoride, and what was the intent with that?
It was it was manipulated, but it was so-called an accident. I was brought in for a fluoride of a lifetime treatment. It's where they put enough fluoride on your teeth, equivalent to brushing your teeth twice a day with fluoridated toothpaste till you're 65. I got 13 doses. And I swallowed about half of it.
All right, but explain. Well, that's not good for you either. But explain what does that mean? You know, what does fluoride really do, and how is it a pacifier or a controlant?
It's just known to be something that there's conspiracy theories. For example, fluoridated water, same stuff. Except I got a bunch of it. It also made my bones brittle. I had to be careful stepping off curbs until recently when I found a treatment. Having that much fluoride caused me to require some extensive dental work. 11 silver mercury fillings, which eventually gave me mercury poisoning and a migraine headache that lasted 19 years. Knocked me down pretty good.
All right. So now you're catching us up to the point of the weather manipulation aspect and your background. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in that? You said 2012 is when your involvement began?
The weather problem wasn't something I deliberately worked on. I was working on another problem. Back in the day, somebody gave me a task to complete if I can. And, on February 1st, 2012, I decided it's time to work on that problem, which took me until October to solve. It was a computer network problem involving manipulation of energies. It's an old obsolete DOE protocol that causes power anomalies in computer networks. My task was disable it if you can. Which I did. And in the process, I was able to create something called artificial lightning. Basically direct the power grid to concentrate a lot of power in one spot until the grounding site saturates, which in turn starts pumping lots of electrons into the air until they accumulate, and then you start seeing sparks. Then in the process, one thing led to another, and I found the Texas drought of 2011, which was from the year before. The 2012 drought was even worse when we lost 26% of our corn crop. At that point, I knew I had to use this in a way, if I could, to reduce the drought. However, I had no connection to the government at the time, so I couldn't report my findings. Neither could I report it to the White House website. My technology that I developed, I was able to see where websites are geolocated around the planet, so I can use the IP addresses as targets for the power grid to focus its energy. One of the mirror sites for the White House was in mainland China, and if you've got physical access to the server, you've got physical access to the data, and I didn't want to report that. So we had to play first contact. Eventually, they got the message, so to speak, and I set them up with a single target site in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. that they could use to manipulate the weather, but only that one target. I've got 4 billion targets. They've got one. The first thing they did was I was working on a Chicago target. They connected the dots. I was using a White House mirror site in Chicago, and they read the data stream, and they copied it, played it back, and, of course, we had some events. One was the Chicago flood of 2013. If you Google search Chicago flood, April 2013, images, and you get to see what happened. Shortly after that, I was manipulated into a home.
Can I ask us then, what exactly is being done to manipulate the weather? And are they doing it to cause destruction, or is the destruction a peripheral issue that's happening when they're trying to create weather patterns that, you know, that elicit weather patterns that they want for drought infested areas or low level or low rain areas?
Yeah. Well, after wind turbines got put up, that's when the drought started. And quickly they became a problem, a real problem. Right now we have to use this system. Otherwise we're going to dry up. The Obama administration used it until 2016, until the hole they put me in let me go. And first thing they did was destroy the Baton Rouge site. If you Google search Baton Rouge, I'm sorry, not Baton Rouge, Louisiana flood, August 2016 images, you'll find where 20 inches of rain hit Baton Rouge in one day. And damaged or destroyed 62,000 homes. After that, our tax dollars at work aren't accessing the system. The drought started to progress, and by the end of August 2018, I decided I have to do something about it. I'm just one guy laying on a bed in Las Vegas. When I'm gone, nobody's going to know how to use this system. And the drought's going to come back, and there's going to be a real serious problem. I want my government to really have this technology, but they won't talk to me. So I've been making noise. I've been pushing the system harder and harder. Started with Washington, D.C. Wettest year on record. Sent emails to the CIA. No one even acknowledged me. Someone told me on a side channel that I may have been marked do not touch for some reason. I wouldn't be surprised. The amount of water we're moving with this thing is about $1 trillion worth a year. That's a whole hell of a lot of money. But when Obama left, nobody's controlling it. The grid operators, they did learn how to make sparks with their generators. So, yeah, they can make artificial lightning and they can make it rain in places, but they don't know how to move the water. They don't have the whole system. All they see is the sparks. So what I did was I used my skills to move some water north from the Gulf of Mexico. They can make all the sparks they want, but now they're making floods. And they're pissed off.
Well, first of all, why if you're doing this, if they're aware you're doing this, why are you on a no-touch list? You would think you would be quite an enemy to the state and country for having the access and knowledge that you do.
Well, I served my country. My parents were both Air Force. I was instilled at an early and young age to serve my country. I want my country to have this. I want my country to come talk to me because, I mean, I can't just publish the details on the internet. I just can't say, here, this is how you control it. That's a seriously bad idea. I mean, I can push the water hard enough to where the grid is causing floods with the laptop and the Wi-Fi connection. If there's thousands of me out there.
Here's the deal. Why not contact major media sources, explain what you're going to do, then do it so that it's not after the fact. Hey, look what I did in Chicago. Look what I did in Baton Rouge. Look what I did in Oregon. After the fact, there's no way to prove it. If you were to say, you know, this technology exists, I'm going to give a demonstration of it, you know, and look at a map that does not show these weather patterns building up already, and you know, or post it over Saudi Arabia or someplace Africa where they need rainfalls. Why not do something along that line to start garnering the attention and let people know that? I mean, obviously, once that happens, they may sit on it, not talk about it, but when it happens, then they'll jump on your story and it'll start getting circulated. The government will have to take notice.
You would think so. Okay, like I said, I started with Washington, D.C. Make some noise. Put the wettest year on record on Washington, D.C., ending in December. I took a month off. I tried to contact the CIA. I sent them messages. Nobody wants to respond. Okay, they see my IP address on every packet I transmit. They know I'm here. Now, Washington wouldn't listen. Okay, next step. U.S. Stratcom, off at Air Force Base, Omaha, Nebraska. Let's make it wet. Did you hear the news about Offutt?
No.
Oh, the runway was underwater.
Okay, and this was something.
That was March.
Uh-huh.
This year. Okay, I started in the beginning of February. I started by piling up snow in the northern tier, then melted it all at once. Water came down the Missouri River, off the Air Force Base got flooded. Still, no one will talk to me. I literally admitted to the CIA that, yes, I'm pushing this. Talk to me. No one will talk to me. Okay. End of April. U.S., wettest 12 months in history. Okay, is that enough? No, it's not enough. Okay, May, let's push it even harder. Wettest 12 months in history. Push the record up another inch and a half. The record was 6 inches above normal. Now we're 7.5. I'm still pushing. Nobody's talking to me. I'm pushing really, really hard.
In a destructive way, correct?
Well, no, I'm just piling up the water. Now, is it destructive? Okay, well, yeah, okay. The rivers are shut down and corn got delayed. Okay, the alternative to doing nothing would be we got a drought and we're going to lose an even bigger part of the crop. Now, do I need to make a point? Do I need to keep making noise? What do I do here? Where do I go from here? I need to talk to somebody, man. This is getting out of hand. If I go another wettest month in 12 months, we're going to go from 7.5 to maybe 8.5 inches above average. The previous record was 6.
Right, but you've got places where the water tables are extremely low and at the lowest point, you know, water by the Hoover Dam, water by, you know, in Nevada and in California, water tables have been extremely low. Why not push the water to places that they need them is my point, showing it in a productive way.
Aside from U.S. Stratcom, yeah, I've actually been doing that. Let's see. Did you read the link that I sent you about the Colorado snow?
Yeah, and actually, I have a friend who was in Colorado yesterday showing me she had posted video of snow coming down on, you know, June 24th.
Yeah, did you read the comments section?
No, I did not.
There. Yeah, there's a tutorial in there about how weather modification works. I'm writing it up. I'm gonna send a link, a permalink, to both the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and the White House, saying, read this now. What do you think they're going to do? So far, they've ignored me.
Well, have you contacted the Washington Post, the New York Times, any myriad of, you know, expose shows that are out there that might be willing to do it? And certainly now there's a lot more television programmed for this that's willing to talk about it.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, I have. I've also gone on Facebook, on the news feeds, on CNN, MSNBC. I'm on Washington Post, I think, and New York Times. Whenever a weather-related question or something comes up, I make a post, and I post some data. For example, the difference in lightning strikes between when we started in 2013 for May was about 300,000 for the United States of America. This last month, 9 million. It's a 3,000% increase. Is something right, going
this,
on?
This is data that's actually out there that's been found, not just something that you are relating. There's actual reports of this that says 9 million lightning strikes this year alone.
Yeah, you want the link?
Yeah, certainly. We'll include a couple of the links on today's program. But first, we do have to make a mention. 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. We've got more coming your way. Stay tuned. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave. That's Tim. And this is Beyond the Darkness. Hey, everybody. You have to check out this amazing new true crime podcast. It's called 22 Hours, An American Nightmare. It's about a murder that took place in Washington, D.C. A family and their housekeeper were held hostage for 22 hours before being killed when the murderer set their mansion on fire. You'll be shocked by what they went through during those 22 hours, and you won't believe how they found the guy. I'm telling you, this podcast is awesome. Keep an eye out for a special sneak peek, an extra episode this week here on Beyond the Darkness. And if you can't wait, download 22 Hours an American Nightmare now on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. New episodes every Monday.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave. That's Tim. And today we're talking with James Yalton and talking about weather manipulation, something that's going on and is having a dramatic and drastic effect. In the emails you sent me, James, and I know that you said you just sent me the link about the lightning strikes that we'll post on today's program so people can go and compare it for themselves. But, you know, it almost sounds like, in a sense, it comes off like eco-terrorism, which may be why some people are ignoring, because either they think you're a nut job or they just don't know exactly how to deal with it or what to do. If that's the case, you know, I mean, I don't have the answers. You were bred for this hyper-intelligence. Is there something else that can be done to get the attention of our government, to get the attention of the people, and get this information out? And why do you feel it's so important? Are they using this information and technology for destructive purposes? Are they creating weather wars that we don't know about?
No, they're not. When Obama left office, he destroyed the target site. I say he destroyed the target site. When I got out of the hole I was in, it was destroyed 5 days later with 20 inches of rain in one day. And it was that specific location. So I'm connecting the dots there. Since that time, we progressively went back to drought. By the end of August 2018, we were on the verge of losing our next year's crops. I had to act. For me personally, I'm a heart patient. February 2017, when I got out of that hole, I was cold turkey taking off a clonopin and developed a heart condition. I had triple heart bypass surgery, and luckily I'm still here. But, you know, I'm not gonna be around forever. I could be gone tomorrow. If I'm gone tomorrow, I failed.
So, again, and pardon my ignorance on this, you failed at what? What is it that you feel needs to be done if they're no longer utilizing this and doing it? Is it because they're not using it to help others that you feel that this needs to be pushed forward?
They don't know how to use it. They know how to make the sparks, but they don't know how to move the water. You know, when the atmosphere gets dry, you can wring that sponge all you want. You're not going to get any more out of it. You need to know how to move the water.
Okay, so what about just contacting what about contacting the direct areas affected by drought and issues? Showing what you're doing now that's creating an abundance of water where now corn crops are being affected, and instead showing what can be done and how you can help them move the water. I've got to guess, first of all, you shouldn't have to live with financial issues if you can legitimately supply answers and give help to areas in need.
You would think so, but you know, this technology was used by the Obama administration to move approximately $1 trillion per year of water over farmland without pipes or ditches. I mean, that was a billion acre feet of water. At the tap, your water bill is about $1,000 an acre foot, or $50 for 16,000 gallons. We're moving a billion acre feet a year, but they couldn't figure out the West Coast. All I had was that one target, and they never talked to me directly. Once they got their target site, I disappeared. I fell into a hole. Well, I'm back.
Okay.
And the new administration, they have no idea how this works. The people at whitehouse.gov, they're not there anymore. There's new staff. And the old staff didn't tell the new staff what was going on.
But shouldn't there be something that would there should be reports. There should be something. They can't bury everything. There's information that leaks constantly.
I know. Like the National Doppler radar, that's been taken away from the public. And the place where it is now, the mosaic is, it de-emphasizes the artifacts caused when I'm running the system. Basically, it causes a splotchy pattern around the next res because it's charging dust particles near the ground. I can send you that in an email too. I recorded quite a bit in 2013 on my Facebook page because I didn't want to keep it on my personal computer. So I've got quite a bit of library of images and videos that I can use for reference. One day I'm going to go in front of a judge. I mean, this is too big and it's too big of a mess. But if I just disappear, no one knows how this works. I'm the only one that knows how the control software works because I'm the one that wrote it. But I can't transmit that software over the internet, and no one will talk to me.
James, I do have an interesting question for you about the mechanism of how this all works. Because when we look at weather patterns in general all over the world, and I want to ask you about one incident in particular over the last couple of years, and that's Puerto Rico. In the weather that happened in Puerto Rico, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So one system is happening over here, if you have a violent weather system happening over here, you have peaceful weather in another area of the world. So my question is, you would think that, right? So if you're pushing weather systems over here, you would think that peaceful systems would happen here. But by you messing with, or I'm using the word messing with pretty liberally here, by you pushing weather over here, by you pushing water over here, are you taking away from other weather systems that should be happening naturally in other areas of the world?
Well, it's more like moving your hand around in a bathtub full of water. You're gonna swirl the water where your hand is, but everywhere else, it's a local disturbance, but you can make multiple disturbances. This thing is multi-targetable. It pulls power directly off the power grid and uses the grid itself as a broadcast antenna.
Okay, but in that too, then, you know, we're told that you've got jet streams, okay, and you've got that there's a certain way that weather works, you know, and with these jet streams push these weather systems around the globe, and in that, are you disrupting these jet streams to push this weather in the direction that you want to push them?
Basically, this is a shiny red button that when you push it, power accumulates in the grid at a certain location. And if the grounding circuits are connected, the charges cycle and generates artificial lightning. Basically, accumulation of charges that is lightning-like, but it's not natural. I call it artificial, but it's really a natural process anyway.
So, and I understand that. So, you're artificially creating a system that wouldn't have been there naturally.
Correct.
Okay, so
here's the problem.
Okay.
You want the problem?
Sure.
Okay. It was recently announced that the installed capacity for wind turbines around the world just reached 600 gigawatts. If you multiply 600 gigawatts times 25% charging capacity, divided by the 45% efficiency, multiplied by the number of seconds in the year, and then divide that by the total mass of the Earth's atmosphere, you will find that we're extracting 2 joules per kilogram for the entire atmosphere per year. In the last 10 years, we've extracted 8 joules. In the next 10 years, we're expected to extract 30. The Earth's atmosphere at 50 meters has an average speed of 6.8 meters per second, which is roughly 20 joules per kilogram. We've already pulled 8. The total joules per kilogram for the entire atmosphere was estimated in 2010 at about 150, all the way up into space. As we drain the wind, we're actually draining the wind.
Mm-hmm.
We've created a system that's already altering the weather and causing droughts. And as we drain the wind, which isn't being recharged, we think it's renewable. It's not. Over time, the wind has remained constant, and we're draining it. It's not being recharged. It's slowing down. As it slows down, droughts occur. For example, when Cape Town, South Africa, put up their wind turbines in 2012, by 2018, the reservoirs were dry and they were at day zero. They were ready to turn off the tap water. Australia, they put up theirs in Adelaide. By 2018, farmers were screaming about the drought. This year, they're announcing that for the first time, Australia might have to import wheat instead of export. They've drained the wind. How do we put it back? This system, you can't put it back, but it can keep the water moving.
Okay.
You need it.
Understandable. So you feel that the system is not taking away from these natural occurring systems that are happening in the world. If anything, they're adding to, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's increasing rainfall, which is, you know, in the direction opposite of, well, causing drought.
Okay. That's.
But the long term, real quickly, the long term effect is something that's killing, as opposed to building these services that we could continue to implement. Because you said you're draining these systems and these wind systems, so that means there's no way to reinvigorate them?
I don't see how. The wind systems, they blow in multiple directions. When we put energy back into the system, the wind accelerates around the planet in one direction. So, for example, if you look at the current hurricane season, we have yet to have a named storm. I've been pushing hard on America. Yeah, we're accelerating the air around the planet at the latitude of the United States. The West Coast, they're doing great. I mean, they had a 5-year drought where it didn't rain at all. Now the drought's over. And we got a little extra water on Hoover Dam this year. Hey, great. But in the meantime, I had to make some noise. I'm targeting D.C. and Stratcom. It's going to get wet. Somebody needs to come up and say, hey, we're on the same side. Let's join forces. I'm sitting here alone. I'm saying,
all right, so you're on your side. You're targeting it now. So talk to me then. So people can watch for this to see when it happens. When will we see this massive effect that you're about to push through?
Well, if you like, let's see. I gave you that that permalink, that Facebook permalink, in that permalink, it shows the difference between the normal rainfall pattern and what I've been pushing since September. And it compares that to the U.S. electrical grid. Have a look.
Okay, but you said that you're targeting it now. What should we see over the next 3 months? So that we've got it on here. Because listen, if you're telling me this is what I'm doing, this is how it's going to be affected, and we've got it today on June 25th, and in the next 90 days, everything you said comes through, we're seeing this in the exact way that you're describing, it's going to grab people's attention. It won't be some nutter in his mom's basement telling us he can do all this stuff. It's the proof. And then people start pushing. Then people start saying, why is this guy not being listened to?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I made a Facebook group page as an electronic diary of what I'm doing.
Okay. And then my friends are not answering my question, though. The question is, what can we expect? Just tell me right now, not my Facebook page. What can we expect in the next 90 days to happen in the targeted areas so that people can watch for it and see if it comes through?
Well, right now, the grid operators can control the sparks. Right now, I'm pushing the water north. Rainfall will be greater than normal. It'll be record if I don't stop. Each month, well, the last 2 months, we've had the greatest rainfall in U.S. history for 12 months. End of April, end of May. End of June is going to be the same thing. If I don't stop, the end of July is going to be the same thing. At the end of August, it will be the same thing, a new record rainfall.
So you're saying
for the next 3 months, that's what happens.
June, July, August, we're going to see record rainfalls in Washington, D.C.
No, United States, the whole country.
The whole country. Okay. Well, I thought you said you were targeting specifically a few areas.
Yeah. Well, I'm pushing heavy water at Washington, D.C., but D.C. doesn't have a lot of power in the area, so I have to push from the side. Well, you know, trying to get it to rain exactly on Washington, D.C., it's kind of hard. But I can generate in the area. Here's something that you can look at. Okay.
Unfortunately, that doesn't make good radio. So if you could just tell us what it is, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. NOAA's rainfall maps are available online. You want the address? I can say it out loud.
Sure.
water.weather.gov/PRECIP/. That's your rainfall. It'll give you today, last 7 days, 30 days,
okay,
et cetera.
So say it again. It's water.weather.gov. Okay.
Yeah, that's our government's
The whole deal so I can put it on today's episode and people listening. So it's water.weather.gov, and then what was the rest?
/PRECIP, P-R-E-C-I-P.
Okay.
Okay, on the time range. Go down the last 365 days. That'll give you the observed rainfall. Click on normal, and that's the comparison. Off on the coast of the eastern United States, there's an offshore grounding site that the nuclear power industry put in back in the day. For the last year, they've gotten 200 inches on that spot.
And that's because of you.
That's because the grid operators are sending all their waste charges out there. The system is functional. Whether or not I can direct it right there, no, I can't. But I can push the system so that it's got extra charge, and they send it out to that spot. And it rains on that spot excessively, 200 inches.
All right. Well, what we'll do is keep an eye on it. We've got the links. We'll include them on today's program and give people a chance to see it for themselves. In closing, James, what is it that you want our listeners around the world to know? And what is the warning or the point that you want them to take away?
Yeah, I want them to know I'm here. I've been solving problems. I've been kept anonymous. I've been kept secret. I've been kept poor. The number of people I've saved would astound you. I can't afford a pizza.
When you say saved, what do you mean by that?
As under the leadership of Project Humanity, That project was, the goal was to create a stable world population of 10 billion people in the year 2100. My predecessor chose those numbers. There's nothing scientific about it. I disagreed with the goal. Two grounds. One, if you're not growing, you're dying. And two, if there's an overpopulation event, that would require a genocide, to be on its course. And I refused to accept that. So I broke the project. If you Google search 10.1 space billion people, you'll see the UN announcement that we were officially 1% off course as a covert communication via public broadcast to the members. I then pulled the second trigger, and if you Google search 11.2 billion people, you'll see that, well, that number changed.
Okay. All right. Well, we will we'll keep an eye on it, and off air, I'll get information from you. Tim and I will send you a pizza today, so that way you've got a pizza at least, and you know we've been listening. All right?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
All right, James Olten, thank you so much. That's it for this week, kids. We'll be back again next week with more of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. And don't forget to tune in on Tuesday for True Crime Tuesday. Monday through Friday, you'll hear me on Midnight in the Desert. You can get all that information and more by visiting darknessradio.com. And good news for listeners, our iPhone app is in the works. We believe we should have something up and functional here within the next 2 to 3 weeks. The app consultant has already got the first basic running version of it, and we're going to be testing it out, looking at it, and should have everything up and ready for you here relatively soon. So keep an eye out for that. And Tim, for iPhone users that are struggling, how can they find it if they want to just get to it right now?
Real easy. You should have an Apple Podcast little icon on your phone there. You just click on the podcasts, Apple Podcast icon, and type in your search bar, Beyond the Darkness. The little ghost picture pops up, and then you just hit subscribe. It's real easy, and we're right
there.
Very
easy.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again next week with more of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. For that guy, I'm this guy, and you've been listening to that show. This is Beyond the Darkness.